Blog Talk Radio.
This show has me a little nervous, man, and I'm excited. First of all, what's up, Phoenix?
Yo, yo, man, and the place to be. This is it.
yeah, this is it, man, totally. And I'm, it's so weird because, you know, I'm not on the radio one day, and when I come on Tuesday with you, I'm so excited, like I haven't been here for a long time. So
right,
it's great. I'm excited. So, but anyway, man, so let's jump into it, man. Let's jump into it. What are we talking about today?
Well, as mentioned, it's something that I could understand your ambivalence. It's dealing with toxic relationships. I'm sure we've all been there at one point or another. Mm. I think today we're going to find some interesting roadblocks or reminders or areas of adjustment, perhaps, if we find ourselves in that category so that we can fix it. These are times are stressful. So the last thing we need is to find ourselves in a toxic relationship.
Mm. Excellent. And, there's been, I've witnessed a lot of toxic relationships, and I was in one myself, and it was very toxic. But this is the thing that catches us off guard is it's almost like a drug, or alcohol. You don't recognize that you've gotten yourself into this new situation. You just end up there. You're not feeling the transition of going from normal to in a toxic relationship. A lot of times, because we're so forgiving and that's okay. Like when I first got into a relationship with this particular girl, I was thinking, I'm going to fix her. I can fix her. You know, she's got all the other qualities that I want, so I'm a fixer. And that's a problem because right. we can't fix them. They have to want to fix themselves. And what happens is that we go from just being at point. Let's just say stage one, and before you know it, you've gone all the way up to 10, and you don't recognize it because you keep on making excuses for the person, and before you know it, their activity has become this intense toxic activity has become your norm, because because we keep making excuses for people that are, you know, that we love and that we want to see them do better, and we try so hard to be okay with them, and it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay, and it's not. So, but I, you know, man, how is it that people get themselves into that without recognizing it?
Well, often it's referred to as a boat that has suddenly dropped or disconnected itself from its anchor, and we slowly drift to sea. And that process is so somber because it happens gradually. And before you know it, you drift out to sea. And you made a very valid point. I love the word. We make excuses. Why? Because we believe that we can fix someone as opposed to letting them fix themselves or to let it happen. Mm-hmm. Through my research, I found one of the things that I've come across where we can make excuses for our partner is that they make these jokes that are destructive, sarcasm, which seems to be the call of the day, and then when you call them on it, they go, oh, I was just joking. No, it was destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the key elements that was brought out in my particular research about toxic relationships. They're constantly poking at the negative things supposedly you do, or they make jokes, and they're hurtful. And then sometimes what we do, our antidote is, Oh, she didn't really mean it. Or she might say, or he might say, ah, I was just joking. But we have to look at it over a period of time, that drifting out to sea, so to speak, and say, is this a pattern? Is this your go-to mechanism? Because if so, let's look at it. And let's try to understand why this pattern is reoccurring. So that can be labeled as a toxic relationship.
Okay.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. There are so many people that are in these relationships and they're not aware of it. How can you not be aware? I mean, basically, it seems like a lot of us are in denial and we want to keep what's happening behind what's happening in the house. And not share it with our confidants or our family, because we don't want them to think less of the person that, you know, we're in this situation with.
You know, that's really key, Wardell. I think one of the things that you and I do well is that we're transparent. And I think transparency is the first line of decompression. Because the other side of that coin can be your first line of defense. You keep it away from friends and family and confidants. But if you're honest and you say, hey, I've been having a little trouble here, you know, you take the S off your chest and you say, you know what? I want to identify what's going on. I think I'm in something that's unhealthy. And sometimes it's not even about that you're looking for a solution from your confidants or friends. Sometimes you just need to air out your dirty laundry and figure it out. Hear
right.
yourself talk about it and say, you know what? I love this person, but I'm making way too many excuses. Or here's something that I personally found, like, am I losing myself? Am I losing touch with the core person that I've come to know myself to be? Am I giving up so much of myself to be in this toxic relationship? And that's when it becomes destructive to you, because then you become a practitioner of the problem. You give that other, you validate these negative vibes or inferences that this individual is bringing forth, and you allow the relationship to drift to sea. Not good. Be
right.
realistic. Be transparent. Be open with those that you feel will be kind, at least enough to listen to you. They don't necessarily have to agree. a friend doesn't necessarily have to say, oh, everything you say is so right. They can say, well, you know, I think you're a little out of base here. Or, you know what? I don't know if that's the case. Or, hey, give this person a chance. Or, you know, or maybe, you know, read God's word, which has always been anecdotal for me. I know for you as well, Wardell. But everybody doesn't go to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not something that you can foresee. Some people get that. Some people understand it's a letter from God. Some people go to how-to books or Oprah, whatever makes your boat float. But you need to get to the point of transparency. You need to be able to look at patterns and then be able to either disconnect or discern where you can rectify, not fix the person, but change your perception of what's happening. That's key.
Right. Yes. Amen. Now, this is, so this part right here is the tricky part. And what I mean by that is I don't want to victimize the victim, right? And so I want to make sure that, you know, sometimes people are just so kind and so forgiving that the other person will take advantage of that. And before you know it, you're in way too deep. You're in so deep that it's just hard for you to have a normal sense of reality because you've gotten yourself in so deep that your equilibrium is off. I mean, everything is just like it's not normal. This new normal has happened to you, and now
right.
you're living in this false sense of reality, and it can be very devastating. There's been many times when people have called the police because of an abusive relationship. Someone's getting beat up in a relationship. And then by the time the cops get there, the woman is saying, please, no, he didn't do anything. It's okay. He's okay. No, please don't arrest him. Everything is fine.
And believe it or not, that's how public servants, cops get hurt. Often, and I've had many of my buddies that were in law enforcement agencies would get called, they would say, to the most dangerous, volatile scenario is when they come to these home scenarios where the husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend is fighting. And then once they come, the person who called the cop suddenly has an epiphany or change of heart and puts the cop in a dangerous environment. Many times they lose life and limb because of that complete flip of circumstance. But there's something else I wanted to insert as well as something you were saying that triggered a thought. We cannot apologize for our transparencies. If there's something that we're feeling or if there's something that makes us feel uncomfortable, we need to find the proper form and the proper time, usually just with that individual, not in front of a crowd or their girlfriends or parents, but just, hey, honey, you know, can we sit down and have a talk? And not apologize for what you're feeling. But, you know, I might insert a scripture where the scripture says to be cautious as serpents amongst wolves. So that, you know, could explain, Wardell, your concern for today's topic, because it's sometimes you can find yourself in a quandary. You're not quite sure how to move forward. But if you're cautious, if you're honest, if you're open, if you're transparent, and you're willing to look at the patterns that be, and to take an honest look, not to fix a person, but just say, you know, I'm feeling something, and maybe it's me, but this is the pattern that I've been feeling with you. And can we look at it? You know, can we discuss it? And one of the things that I found, too, in my research is if a person continues to cut you off and they don't want to communicate, they don't want to look at the problem, this, too, is a red flag of a
right.
toxic relationship.
Absolutely. Let me just read this to you. Here's how to recognize some of the signs of a toxic or abusive relationship and how to address it healthy in a safe way. In a safe way is the key. Okay, so lack of trust is one. Hostile communication. controlling behaviors, frequent lying, and all take, no give. Like, I just want to take. I'm not giving anything. And you feel drained all the time. You're making excuses for their behavior. Those are signs when you have, you're slipping into darkness, so to speak. You're slipping into this place, into toxicity. And you have to really, really the most important thing we all can do is pay attention and do something about it, right? Don't just, it's one thing if you're paying attention, but if you don't do anything about it, it doesn't matter if you're paying attention. But you need to always pay attention. And it's always okay to find someone to share. You have to have someone that you can talk to. That's, it kind of gives you balance, someone that you trust. You know, I've watched, like I said, many of people in many relationships get beat up, especially girls get beat up a lot. And I mean physically torn. And the smart ones would say, okay, that's it, you're out. You know, but there's others that it's not that they're not smart. It's just that they're so forgiving and they really want it to work. I mean, there's been situations where girls were being sexually abused by the man that the mother brought into the house, and the mother didn't want to believe it because she wanted the relationship to work so much. It's like crazy. Like, whoa, wait, that's your daughter. You don't want to believe your daughter because you need it. See, you have to check yourself, you know, and people sometimes get caught up in what they want as opposed to what it is. And we have to pay attention to the reality of the situation. Here's a question. Can a relationship exist without any dysfunction?
Say that again.
Can a relationship exist without any dysfunction?
Yeah, it can. I mean, again, it takes two. You know, no two situations, like no two leaves on a tree are alike. And I think there's no cure-all for all scenarios and situations. I think the extreme one that you mentioned with a woman that has a daughter and the man is making improper advances, that leads more to the extreme end of the equation. That's pretty toxic. That the level of toxicity is off the meter right there. There are different gradations of situations that one has to be, one has to evaluate them personally and look at and weigh the pros and cons. And look at it, you know, that's why I thought when I looked at the information, when you bring it to the person that you feel is demonstrating a toxic behavior and you find the appropriate time, and that's usually good to ask, is this a good time to talk when you're alone, not in front of the kids, not in front of your friends or family? Yes, it is, or not now, I'm busy, or yeah, it's fine. Well, I noticed such and so forth. Can we look at this? What do you think about that? You see?
Yeah.
And so that's a starting point.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. And so then this question to me goes with the last question. It goes, when does dysfunction become toxic?
Well, you know, it's like the air you breathe. Typically you breathe air, but if there's a fire, or if you're too close to the barbecue pit and suddenly you're choking on the fumes, you have to personally gauge your level of comfort.
Right.
And it's not the rose-colored glasses comfort or what you want. Mm-hmm. It's like, is this making me feel uncomfortable? And that's the particular gauge that everyone's different. It's like, come on, I'm in Vegas and people say, oh, my God, it's too hot, I can't breathe. And I'm like, I'm doing just fine. But if it's too hot for you, then get out of the kitchen.
Right.
You have to decide
right
what is your level of tolerance, and that's that's a personal thing, I think. You know, that's something that really requires some real inner meditation. Meditation is good because it allows you to look at those areas that only you can look at.
Yes, yes. I think that, once again, you really, we always have to pay attention. We always have to, when you're seeing, when you're going from, like, dysfunction is like doing something that's not well, that's not good, don't do that. And then as it's on, if it's not getting better, you know toxicity, it's about to get toxic. So you, at that point, if you're paying attention, you can say, okay, I see where this is going. And if you don't stop, you're going to end up where you're going. And so, and that means you're going to be without me. And so sometimes we have to be tough love, you know, with our mates. And in a lot of cases, you know, if you're in a toxic relationship already, a lot of people are afraid to, you know, say it's already tough. That's the kind of love.
They're afraid to rock the boat.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's really sad because we do get caught up in it. Now, this is also, I'm going to explain something to you. This happened to me. And I was in a relationship, and we would get into these different arguments in regards to drinking. I'm like, you know, too much drinking. You just can't do that. You know, it's just, it's overkill. And every time I turn around, you're drinking and drinking. It's just, you know, and so there was, it was, that's dysfunction to me. And that's also, you know, someone that's going through something and they're going to the bottle instead of the Bible. They go into, you know, they're trying to solve their problems with alcohol, or some people do use drugs. But this particular person was using alcohol, and it was, I mean, no matter what I did, I prayed, I did all kind of stuff for her, just trying to make this thing be okay and make her be okay, and thinking I was going to change her. And this has been, this is a long road, but I was trying very hard because I wanted the relationship to work, and I was giving it all I had. And then the thing that just kind of, after, you know, so many years of trying, the thing that just broke me is when we were just in a conversation and we disagreed and we were, you know, having a little argument. And so, and I was winning the discussion. And then all of a sudden there was no filter. And she just said, "Your mother's a bitch." And I go,
"Oh, good."
I'm saying, what, you know, excuse my language, guys, but I'm like, wait a minute. My mom has nothing to do with this. This is just between you and I. And like I said, your mother's this. And I'm like, whoa. And so I knew, to see, that's toxic.
That was the dagger. I mean, that was designed to hurt you. You're right. It had nothing to do with your mother. And I think, too, the litmus test is also being in touch and getting in touch with your inner voice. You know, we all are equipped with a conscience. Even the Creator talks about conscience. Years ago, people would say, "Let your conscience be your guide." That's something that I think has become mystified over the present times that we're living. But there is an inner voice, there is a conscience. And if you allow yourself to have your conscience trained, your conscience will say, "Hey, you know, I want to look at what this is that we're going through. I want to be able to trust this feeling that I'm having. I'm looking to validate or invalidate it by your response levels." Now, if you're controlling, or when I bring it up, one of the things that came up, you stay on your social media sites. You're perusing through your phone. You refuse to make eye contact. You cross your arms. Your body language is as such that says, "Hey, I don't want to traverse this with you." These are indications not only that something is wrong, but you really drifted further out to sea than you thought you did. And then you have to make a value judgment that only you can, not your friends, don't involve your family, but you, to make a judgment stand on what's occurring at that point in time.
Wow. Absolutely. Wow. That was well said. That was well said. I think I have another question. Does a degree of imbalance actually help the relationship to work? Imbalance or unbalance? I'm not sure.
That's an interesting. If I'm catching that drift, bro, I think, you know, sometimes, I mean, none of us are perfect. All of us are skewed, particularly us, Wardell. We're artists. We're always bent. If the world is at 12 o'clock, we're at 2 o'clock. That's just the way it is. We're always on a bend. So I can take that with a grain of salt and imbalance, you know, because of our imperfections. The thing is, how much are you going to allow things to get out of balance? And that's where it becomes neutral or toxic. And once again, this is a barometer that only you can gauge. But it starts out with clear thinking. Take the rose-colored glasses off, so to speak. Take off what I want. Because sometimes we have an incurable case of I want. I want this relationship. Or, oh, he's so handsome. Or, oh, she's so gorgeous. And, oh, my God, this is, you know, the storybook romance. Not quite. Dear Houston, we have a problem. Let's look at it. Do we let the rocket ship go up in the air and burst into flames, or do we send the technical team in to take a look at what's going on? This is what we do in order to get real with our relationships.
Wow, it's crazy, man. Have you ever been in a toxic relationship?
Absolutely, and you know, it is a testament to where you are at that particular time in your life. For me, my litmus test is whether I stay or I walk away. I want to be in my afterthought would always be, did I give this person enough leeway? Was I controlling? Was I transparent? Did I state my true intentions? Key. I always tell even my current wife, hey, listen, we're in this bad thing right now. We're about to say things that we really don't mean, but hey, I love you. And no matter what, if I should walk away today, I want you to know that I sincerely love you. I sincerely have committed to this relationship, and I'm willing to do whatever I need to do or whatever it takes, even when I pray. She's not a Christian. She's Buddhist. You know, even when I openly pray and she acknowledged it, I asked the Creator, what can I do to be a better man to her? Even you, one day, I really appreciated, Wardell, you, whether you realize it or not, you set me back on my heels and you said, make sure you're being the very best husband, that you're loving her. I mean, to the point of a failure, you're really showing her above and beyond that you truly love her. Because, you know, people talk about closure, and yes. I think one of the biggest headaches of closure is when you leave a so-called toxic relationship or something that didn't work, and then 2 weeks, a week, an hour, 10 hours down, you say, oh, my God, I wish I would have told it this. I wish I would have revealed how I was really feeling. I wish I would have allowed myself to step outside of myself, get out of the way of my ego, and say, hey, the hardest word to say, I'm sorry. You know, I took that the wrong way, or, you know, I got amplified and I should have stayed acoustic. You know, come on. I didn't need to go all there. I let my feelings, you know, people say, you know, you're getting in the way of your feelings. A lot of the kids say, you know, you let your feelings get all out there. That's key. Don't never walk away or say, I could have, would have said, but I didn't. Because there's no closure. And that's when pain comes and visits you. He says, I'm going to be with you for the next 2-3 weeks. Whip out the chunky monkey and get right, on the right. bed and watch them old movies and start to cry.
Yes, yes. It's difficult to just walk away. You know, because in the process of falling in love with someone, we become codependent.
And we let go.
Yeah. And so when you become codependent on someone, the love could have slipped away a long time ago, but you're still codependent and you're holding on to something that has no value. It has no value. It's only fulfilling your insecurity, which is being by yourself. And you're dependent on that person to fulfill that void. In the process of doing that, you can destroy yourself
that's the particular area. That's the twilight of your reality or insanity. And only you can make that judgment call, because you're really stepping out of your comfort zone. And for me, my thing is, be true to thine self, to thine own self, be true. Say, what is it that I'm in for? What is it that I'm looking for? I know for me, I always come back to one thing. All I want to do is be happy. I don't want to go to the movies. I don't want to drink. I don't even have to make love. I just want to be happy. Can we be happy? Is that okay? And she says, you know, I just want to be happy too. Cool. So can we be happy together? Or are you happy with the dog or your friends or, I don't know, your money or your material possessions? What makes you happy? You make me happy. Is that what you want? And that just gets down to brass tacks and nails then.
Yes.
And then the person might say, you know what? I'm not happy with you. And you know what? When I'm with you, I feel weird. Or I feel like I can't express myself to you. Well, you need to look at that. Oh, I'd rather be with my girlfriends or my buddy or talk sports with or talk about cars or possessions. And that's a horse of a different color.
Yeah. You know, being in a intimate relationship is to me, it's like a business deal with your heart, you know, two hearts, right? And you are just basically, your responsibility is to make sure that you're doing your part. And if you make sure you're doing your part, then if it still is falling apart, then you can feel good about yourself to let it go. But if you're not doing your part, it's like, you know, you got nerve. You didn't do this and you didn't do that. And if they're right about that, it is. So you got to make. That's why I always said, Phoenix, just love her, despite. Mm-hmm. You know. Just,
and you know,
you,
there's
do,
just
do
one word
part.
Of caution. You know, to use God's words of wisdom. You know, we're songwriters, you and I. So, you know, one of the most overused words is heart, and trust the heart, and hallmark expressions about the heart, which is just a muscle. But people, of course, think of it in a figurative sense. But the intelligent definition is the sum total of who you are. Like a boxer, they say he has heart. They're not talking about his physical muscle. They're talking about the Rocky Balboa in him. Does he go the distance? But the creator, our grand instructor, says something remarkably contrary to public opinion. He says, do not trust your heart and do not rely upon your own understanding, because the heart is treacherous and who could know it? So if the maker of the universe or us says that, what he's saying is be cautious. Be cautious when you traverse things in terms of the matters of the heart. Because the heart can color things. The heart can distort your vision. But if you can move away from this heart thing and employ another muscle called the brain and look at things a little more logistically, then you'll start to put, like many psychologists will use, well, do the pros and cons things. How many things are pro in your relationship? How many things that you find are not good? And if you've got only two things that came up for pro, and you got 50 11 cards, Something is a little, don't you think?
Absolutely, and especially...
You should be able to rattle off that, I love you because you're nurturing. I love you because you're thoughtful. I love you. You know, the other day you went and had a sandwich at Subway and you bought half the sandwich back from me. That was the first time I realized in my previous relationship that I wasn't as loving as my wife was. Because if I had a sandwich, man, I gobbled it up. I might tell her, hey, babe, I had a great sandwich. Well, did you bring me home a piece? My wife, I had this sandwich. It was so delicious. Honey, I saved it for you. She wrapped it in a little paper and put it in her purse. And I would say to myself, oh, my God, and this sandwich is incredible. Little things, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we learn from others, not even what we typically do.
Yeah, absolutely. Question. Is codependency learned behavior?
I would say it is, yeah. Codependency sometimes comes from our parental exposure. You know, did our parents have a good relationship? Did we see them always arguing? Did we see one that seemed to be the victim and the other was the victor? You know, our association of our friends, bad association spoils useful habits. You know, what kinds of friends do we have? Are they judgmental? Do they pick at our relationships like fish from a bone? Do we tolerate that? Do we find ourselves in negative conversations that are just circular, like a dog chasing its tail? Or do we say, hey, wait a second, aren't we being a little critical about our loved one or your loved one, or are we judgmental? So yeah, codependency can be a litany of those things expressed, and then they become the sum total of who we really are, or who we've become.
Well, how can we unlearn it?
Well, we have to first identify, you know, the problem. You know, am I judgmental? You know, do I find myself as the bulk of my conversation pointing my finger at someone, or am I super sarcastic, which seems to be something that is tolerated. I literally, when I was dating, I don't know how many profiles that I came across where the women bragged and boasted and beat at their chest with like King Kong and said, I'm sarcastic. I swap immediately to the left. I don't want to deal with someone who's sarcastic.
Yes,
because sarcasm is not upbuilding, not super red flag.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
All of the charts that I looked at on today's topic, it talked about people who are controlling. It talked about people who made these jokes or jesting, okay? And they were really underlying digs. And they would say, I'm just joking. Oh, you're fat. Or look at you. But they were really saying, I don't like what I see. And I'm looking at, you know, the men out there that I think fits, you know, my wish list, then by all means, you know, go to the gym and go get the guy who's ripped up and see how that works out for you. I mean, what can I tell you?
Right, right.
But yeah, you have to identify the problem before you can fix. You can't fix something if you didn't identify, you know, don't change your carburetor when you needed to change your battery. The carburetor wasn't the problem. You wasn't getting juice to the engine. You got to identify what the problem is first before you can begin to solve or fix it.
Amen. You know, love is respect. Everyone deserves to be in a safe and healthy relationship. Do you know if you're in a relationship that's healthy? I'm talking to the listeners, and so I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and you can score yourself. Okay, but it's the question is, your partner is very supportive of the things that you do, yes or no? Is your partner very supportive of the things that you do? Is your partner your partner encourages you to try new things, yes or no? Does your partner encourage you to try new things? Your partner likes to listen when you have something on your mind, yes or no? I mean, do they like, you know, sometimes you can't get someone's attention because they're so caught up in self that, and they're not really about, not about you or the relationship. They caught up in self. And so, you know, so it's pay attention to these things. Your partner understands that you're, that you have your own life too. Does your partner understand that you have your own life too? It's like, I have my life, you have your life, and then we have our life together. So, you know, because that is the real, I mean, to me, that's what I believe.
And that's anecdotal. That's actually anecdotal to your, what you called a sense of dependency. Because if you can't differentiate or make that demarcation in the sand, is where you stop doing the things that are necessary for you and you disqualify them for the imbalance of the relationship that you want to save. Mm-hmm. You know, there, I call it, I tell my wife all the time, I don't want to become so transparent that I can no longer see myself in this equation. I need to know who the core person is. And I have to, you know, I have to take my hat off if I was wearing one, Wardell, to say respect, like you mentioned, love is respect. Because, you know, if your husband or your wife is just interested in the physical you, that's not love. Love, respect is when someone says, hey, I care for you. You know, did you hurt yourself? You know, can I massage your feet because you've been on your feet all day? I'm not looking for anything in return, but I want to help you. I want to be the salve on your eye, like when Jesus washed the feet of his disciple. I want to be the one that brings you hospitality, to be hospitable, which is where the word hospital comes from, to fix your broken and tired soul. That's respect for someone.
Right.
You know,
someone,
when you respect your car, man, you pull out that microfiber cloth, man. Every time you park it or every time you get ready to get in, you wipe it because you respect this machine. You oil it. And,
yeah.
And they say sometimes men take better care of their cars than they do their own body. It's respect.
Yep. And
do
you run into the room when your mate starts screaming because something happened, or do you just, you know, they'll be okay? That's, you know, you know, and so, you know, it's a, you want the person to know that I got you. And if you're not getting that from somebody, that I got you, you need to check. You need to really make sure, because that's, to me, that's what love is. It's so respectful and caring about who you are and where you are and if you're okay. Not where you are because I don't trust you, but where you are so I know if anything happens, I know where to go.
And if I could dig a little deeper here from the sexual intimacy of a relationship, you know, I years ago I wrote a song called Nothing Like Making Love When You're In Love. Okay, there's a huge monumental difference. When someone loves you, they're not looking to satisfy their own carnal desires. They're looking to pleasure you, and they're not doing it at the expense of you for themselves, for their own selfish purposes. A true man is one that supports himself when he loves you. A true man is one who asks, is he hurting you? A true man who loves you is one that is concerned about your needs or you're tired, not till it's an excuse or you become justified in your inability to be intimate. But the real caring concern is where, to me, true respect comes in, you know, where you're not an object. When someone really loves you, they, like you say, they get you. They're concerned about you. They're your best friend. They're supportive. They're willing to hear your side of things, not always necessarily agree, because they could agree to disagree and say, well, you know, honey, I think perhaps maybe you might want to take another look at that. You might have overreacted. I'm not sure. To give the person the chance to breathe on their own, yeah. You might need to resuscitate them.
Right.
But to me, respect comes into play when, like you said, somebody just gets you, you know? You are everything to me.
Yeah. When you become the priority over the other person. I mean, yeah, so for instance, you know, it's like when you have a child. Your child, like, all of a sudden everything's about that child. Like, whoa, right. What happened? How did that happen? What happened to me? All my dreams. Now it's all about my child, this brand new little baby. I'm so in love. And that it's all about them. Well, you should be able to find a mate the same way. Now, this is not to say anything about myself, but this the only reason I'm saying this is because my friends and some of my relatives don't get it. But they're like, Wardell, you good with being deep out in the country in Texas? You okay with that? And I go, yeah, I'm cool with it. Why? They said, are you sure? And I go, well, listen, one of the reasons why I really am cool with it is because if you see the look on my wife's face, every time we came out here, I could see this joy that came over her. It was a certain joy, and then I decided, okay, I think this is where she needs to be. This is, you know, because we would come down here every 2 weeks, and I would take care of the land, you know, clean it up. She cleaned up the house, and I would take care of the land because nobody was here. So every 2 weeks, we had to come and take care of the land. And so then I was like, you know what? I think this is where we should be. And she freaked out, really? And so my friends go, well, but geez, why are you? I mean, that's about her. What about you? I said, this is the thing. It's about her. It's about her. If she's good, then I'm good. That's my purpose.
Love is truly putting the needs of others ahead of yourself. And I love the word. The anchor you use was that you prioritize. In other words, if your cell phone is your priority when you sit down and have dinner in a relationship, or the meet or the we time, not the me time, that you spend together as a couple, it's an indication that there's time to reevaluate circumstances. Maybe they're not your priority. You know, Google is nice, but do we have to Google in the midst of having a relationship
a nice Google
right now?
Right.
Like, really?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, but what happens is that we all fall short, and, you know, sometimes we'll do something spontaneously that maybe we shouldn't have done, and that's okay because that's just, we're just humans, right?
As long as it's not a pet.
Right, but yeah, but I've seen going out to dinner, and I would see two people sitting together at a table and have like, it's like a nice little romantic setting, and both of them are in their phones. It's like they're not even there. And so it's just like, wait a minute. Are you serious?
Here's my pet peeve. I got to air this out. Okay, we're at dinner. There's an intimate setting. I love you. You love me. We love each other. Great. Okay, well, let me take a picture of what we're eating, honey. Okay. But can we eat it, though? No, let me take a picture. Okay, that's fine. Oh, well, let me, you know, text it to so-and-so and let her see what we're eating.
Yeah,
oh, what is that you're
eating? That's over the top.
Oh, well, it's blah, 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 blah. Well, right. I was at this restaurant, and before you know it, there's this litany of back and forth, and I'm saying, see, honey, was that necessary to take a picture? Could we live in the moment?
Right.
What happened before cell phones? I think we got along just fine. Everybody editorializes. Nobody can live in the moment. I'll be honest with you, bro, it is disconcerting to me. It's like, wow. Like, can I just enjoy this with you?
Yes.
Does it have to go on all the social sites and media? And do you have to wait for likes? I mean, can we just live in the moment?
Yes.
I'm an incurable romantic. I think that comes across. I love to be in love.
Yeah.
Why do we have to share it with the world right now?
Yes.
There's a time and place for everything. And for me, man, that's a game changer. That's when I start to feel remiss.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I feel like I'm not a priority. I'm not, you know, your girlfriend is your priority. You want to show her this wonderful salmon that you're eating right now, but not with me.
There you go.
Not good.
Well, you know, so in closing, I do have another question from the listeners. Why do some people create a fantastic bond and forego a false sense of connection and forge a false sense of connection? Let me read it again.
Yeah.
Why do some people create a fantastic bond and forge a false sense of connection?
Well, that's a pretty complicated question because I think the two sides that are being expressed, and I'm trying to see the bridge. For one, falsehoods or falsehoods.
Oh, fantasy bond.
Or fantasies, okay. And reality is not necessarily is. Reality doesn't always converge with fantasy, and that's where the trouble or the connection or disconnection meets. We have to separate fantasy from reality, what we want, and what actually coexists between the two of us. That's really the better perspective to have, in my opinion. You know, and I think we're all guilty of that. We all want what we want. But is that truly what we have?
Yes.
Life is precious, man. We have to live in the moment. And unfortunately, one of the things that I did come across, I touched upon it, but social media plays a huge distraction. It's like a cannonball that just implodes a lot of relationships. It really promotes insecurities and selfish desires and inclinations to be liked and loved by so many followers. But the very person that you've entrusted your intimate connection with, you disconnect from.
Wow.
You know, they say you always hurt the ones you love.
Yeah.
And, you know, you made something else I wanted to talk briefly about. You mentioned parent and a child. It's okay to love your child. But I don't think it's okay to lose yourself because you love your child. So many parents that I've known, my ex-wife, her mother was in her 80s. She gave her life to her children. And in the end of the day, she realized that she made a huge mistake. She said, you can make a child, but you can't make their mind. You know, you can't live for your child because at some point your child, you know, there's a song, The Cat in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. You know, there comes a time when the son wanted to be with the father, and then the father got older and wanted to be with the son, and the son said, I don't have time for you, Pop, just like you didn't have time for me. And so it shows you the demarcation between children and parents, how much more so in relationships.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, you know, my example was just that initial feeling that you get when you have a child. You realize, wow, how, you know, they've become more important.
Everything.
You know, yeah, they become everything, you know, and then reality kicks back in and hopefully it does, and then you get it together, but you just raise them and do the best you can, and that was my experience.
What's the expression, Wardell, they said, you know, a mother and father can raise 10 kids. 10 kids cannot raise a mother and father. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot to discern from, to pick from the bones to that love your child, but don't lose yourself in the process.
Amen. Amen. And that's happened a lot in relationships. So, but anyway, in closing, what do you have for us, my brother? Anything on, any thoughts?
Well,
anything you
know,
share?
Before you can love someone, get your ducks in a row and love yourself. You know, have a realistic view of who you are. Not this Instagram vision that you have of yourself, a Photoshopped idea. Love yourself and who you are first before you can love someone else. Have realistic goals set. You know, be honest, be transparent, but not to the point where you lose yourself. Be honest. Be cautious of patterns that coexist. You know, I think we can't underscore the point enough to prioritize your love over your social media sites, over your friends, over your, even your parents, when you engage with someone, make them your priority. At least make them feel that their level of importance validates the relationship. These are things that help, like you mentioned, a healthy relationship.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, job well done, my brother. And
you as well, man. I want to thank you again, Wardell, for your choice today, because, you know, sometimes the best thing that we can do is talk about it. This is it for real. Life is precious. And on the journey that we choose as a trajectory, it is so therapeutic to talk about this, to hear other humans express their feelings about similar patterns that we're going through. Only then can we fix ourselves first before we attempt to fix anyone else.
Yes, that's right. That's right, man. And you know, I love the words that you just put together there. Thank you so much. Thank you for being
Thank
a blessing
you.
To us and hanging out and tell your wife hello and appreciate everything that you do.
She just blew kisses at me, so I guess she was listening.
You are one lucky man, aren't you?
I love her so much. Okay. And you know what I'll say? It's great to be in love. To love and to be in love.
Yeah,
there's nothing like it in the world. To be connected to another human being, and although you may not be the perfect fit, but you're willing to accept each other's imperfections.
Mm.
Words, true words of wisdom. I mean,
we're
not Instagram models. We're human beings. We're living this life we're living.
There you go.
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered. That's my brother. All right, man. Well, God bless. And we'll be in touch, and I'll talk to you soon about some other things that's going on. But thank you again, Phoenix, for everything that you do, man. All right?
Thank you, my brother. Thanks. Great day.
All right. We'll talk in a minute. Are you still there, Phoenix? It looks like I see Phoenix, but I don't hear him. Are you there, brother?
Yeah.
Oh, you are here. You enjoying that music?
Yeah, I
think your wife must have walked in the room.
Man, I'm a huge Smokey Robinson fan. Huge.
Yeah, he sounds like me. So real quickly, man, there was a pressing question that I needed to ask you, and I didn't. And so I'm going to ask you now because they were a little disappointed that it was over. In terms of, let me see, I was going to ask about toxic relationships at work and within mm-hmm. families too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, the question is, I guess, like, how do you deal with toxic relationships at work and within your family? So this is not just a one-on-one. This is, you know, outside of the relationship, so to speak, and into the world.
We can definitely do a part two on that to get to the second other side of it, from the intimate interpersonal relationships on one-on-one, as that filters into our jobs and our families as extensions to this concept. Work thing is interesting. The work scenario, I see that with my wife, and it's funny because one of the breakdown things that happened with us, I had to basically kind of scold her, because when she's on her job, she's like, oh, hi, and she wants to do everything and massage everybody and run around and do this and that. And I said to her, I said, babe, what is lacking in you that you feel the need to over and hyper extend yourself? And then as soon as they leave, you're withdrawn. You have nothing to say to me. But to everyone else, you're running around, you want to get them water, you want to massage them, you want to get birthday cards and gifts and stuff. And as soon as they leave, you're like, I'm like, babe, you're doing it can't be for the money, because you drive a $400,000 car, you own your homes outright for $15 an hour. I said, you know, is it that you want attention from these people? What is it? You know, and we had to really look at it. She says, you know, you're right. I'm like, you're too extra.
All right.
And to me, it's not even real. It's abnormal. And she scaled back, man, and said she meditated on it. And she realized that I wasn't trying to hurt her, but I was exposing a character flaw that she kind of knew she was doing, but she didn't realize to the extreme that what she was doing. And I think it helped her.
All right. Well, you know, I just wanted the listeners to know that you're willing to come back, and we're going to do another segment in regards to family and in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So
I think that's great.
All right. Cool. Cool beans, man. Well, thank you again. And go and enjoy your meal, and God bless you, and thank you for hanging out. Smokey kept you on the line, so. All right,
definitely. All right.
Okay. All right, brother. We'll talk in a minute. Okay. We'll be right back after this, guys. was the Mix It Up on Solar Records Radio. Let's get this thing going.
If I ever said enough times, I can never let you go when you're not mine. I can be your nighttime lover. We'll dance under the moonlight cover. The pleasures I will make you discover.
I can be.
And I had a wonderful, wonderful relationship, and we did a lot of things together. And I just am so blessed because of who he was to me. Thank you, Richard Randolph, my brother. Love you very much. You're the Kind of Girl by Wardell Potts. Y'all need to go out and buy it. Go buy it. Anyway, yeah, we always want some support, don't we? I tell you, the musicians are something else. We are something else because we love to have fun. We love to have a good time. We like writing good music and just having a good time with you guys. It's a wonderful relationship between you guys and us. So thank you so much for loving our music. Thank you for being a blessing to us. And you know what? It's a wonderful relationship. It's not toxic at all. It's so loving between us, right? And I feel so blessed. I have some amazing friends that I met through music, and I love all of you guys and appreciate you very, very much. So, yes, shout out to Richard from Astrid. Thank you, Astrid. And you know, I tell you, when Richard passed away, Greg made this wonderful, beautiful flyer for his fiance, and it was just over the top. And I can't thank you enough, Greg, for, you know, just your heart and just doing what you do, doing you. You are all right with me, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. Anyway, so guys, we are mixing it up here today on Soulite Records Radio. I hope you are good and things are well for you. We got about another 38 minutes left in the show. And so we're just going to have a good time with this. So when we say mix it up, we're talking about, you know, all the different types of music that we play here on Soulite Records Radio. So, you know, you may hear this, you may hear that, you may hear some praise and worship, you may hear some jazz, you may hear R&B, indie artists, you know, dance music, you may hear anything. Right now, I want to take you guys to another indie artist. This is, I have a better idea. So, yeah, I'm going to come back to that because I need to verify something on that first before I play it. So, anyway, kick back, relax. We're listening to Soulite Records Radio.
We'll be right back. Jack B, number yo, Miles, blow the trumpet off of A&M. David's style is different, you can describe it as specific. He rips, rage, and roll, no time for watching Andy Griffith. You can, all you want, go ahead. While he takes a doo-hop, I mix it with bebop, just like a maker in the shoe shop. Easy, no, he will cream you like a nougat. And usually we do up, but his vibes want to cool out. You can do that, Miles, blow your trumpet, show the people this one is the zoo. Just digging that Dubai sound.
What's happening, babe? Did you miss me over the weekend? If you did, I'm sorry. But now that I'm here, I don't want to bore you with a long, irrelevant conversation. But you see, doll, I think it's about time for me to get real serious about you. Because if someone was to rip me off for you, I couldn't account for my actions afterwards. And the way I feel, knowing that you should have been mad all the time. But you see, I not only want you, baby, but I need you. And the need is so strong, it's almost like that of a junkie. In other words, baby, I just got to have you. Listen to me, darling. Please, listen to me. What is a love, Joan? Shucks, doll. It's when you love someone very, very much and you just can't seem to get yourself together. Like last Friday in class when Mr. Russell was giving us the test, I was sitting up staring at you and daydreaming. I know I failed, huh? A test paper with nothing but my name on it? I guess anybody can have a love, Joan. It's just love, but true love. The way I feel about you, that's a love, John. Comprehended anything I've said, and you find that you do love me, then all I want to hear from you, doll, is that you too have a love, John.
Basements in the city of brotherly love. Man, with the red lights, right, and the posters on the wall. Y'all remember that? The posters on the wall. And oh man, and you know, you dress to the T, and everybody's a wallflower. We all against the wall. We're young and just trying to figure out life and have a good time together. And and this good music just came on, and we really did. We enjoyed our childhood. I wouldn't change it for the world. It was very good to me. And so anyway, we got about another 24 minutes left in the show. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Don't forget about tomorrow, Indie Jazz Day. Indie Jazz Day tomorrow on Soul Light Records Radio. I'm so excited. We're going to have Mark Stadgers. S-T-A-G-G-E-R-S. And so, come on, he's a bad boy. His voice is amazing. Good gracious, I just love this guy's voice. So come hang out, support the indie artists, jazz artists, you know, because it's a little different, you know. And we're fortunate because we are a indie radio station, so we play what we want to play. Whereas the traditional radio, they have to play whatever they're told to play. And so we have a good time supporting all the jazz and indie artists every Wednesday on Solar Records Radio. And then on Thursday is Throwback Thursday. And that's kind of wild because I get to see all kind of crazy pictures. And I'm still trying to find, trying to get my sister to send me some of my childhood pictures. She's slow. But anyway, yeah, so that's pretty much it. I look forward to just having a great week. And then obviously every Friday we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. And from the 70s and the 80s is what we celebrate here on Solar Records Radio. So come hang out. I want to give a shout out to all my brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you guys so much for everything you do. And we appreciate you very much here on Solar Records Radio. Tell a friend about Solar Records Radio. You know, let them join our group and meet some amazing people. It is a beautiful thing here. But anyway, so this is a young man that we had on a few weeks ago. So let's go hang out with my brother Lucas on Solar Records Radio.
me like a poolside chair.
Just a bit.
Man, oh man, those are good old days right there, man. We were having
Dynasty.
A good time. Dynasty's in the house, man. And so, but anyway, you know, Don Fleming's in the house too, guys. How you doing, man? How you been? Been busy?
I'm good. Yeah, busy and late, so I apologize. I just wanted to kind of get a chance to check out the show, peep your show. And, of course, it is a great show, nonetheless, even though I wasn't on there, but it was a great show. No, but, man, keep doing what you're doing. I really enjoyed it. I was on the road. Actually, I'm going home now to you know, rest my eyes and things. You know, I didn't really get a lot of sleep last night, but, you know. But, no, man, great show. Great show.
Oh, thank you. You know, we had an amazing conversation earlier part of the show when we were talking about toxic relationships, and it was amazing conversation. You will be, I guess, together on Thursday, right?
Yes, sir.
On Thursday.
That's the plan. Unless you got something else, that you didn't tell me.
Well, I always plan for you to be with me, but I know you're a busy man too. So, and then tomorrow, you know, we have a special guest coming on tomorrow. So we're gonna have a good time with Mark, and he's an amazing singer, and he's out of the Washington D.C. area, and so we're gonna have a good time chopping it up with him. And
DMV.
Yeah, and so look forward to that conversation tomorrow with our indie artist. So anyway, we love you guys and appreciate you here on Solar Records Radio. Thanks for being a part of our show. Thanks for, you know, please, like I said, let your friends know about Solar Records Radio. Maybe they could, come and hang out with us and we can meet some more amazing people. So God bless all of you guys. God bless all of you guys. Anything else, Don, you want to say before we hit the road?
No, again, just want to thank everybody for tuning in and check us out tomorrow, Indie Jazz. Once again, Indie Jazz Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. And, again, if you want to donate to the show, of course, you can go to SolarRecordsRadio.com or ElPasaJr.com if you want to get some cool merchandise again. And we also have the Cash App $ Solar Records Radio, all one big word. So, again, thank you guys for donating and chipping in on the Cash App because, again, we want to make every show better than the last one, and we count on you guys to donate every little you can. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, let's give a shout-out to Julian for donating last week to Solar Records Radio.
Yes,
shout-out
to Julian,
Thank you, sweetheart. We appreciate you. But anyway... So we're going to keep this music going. We're going to play a couple, maybe one or two songs, and then we'll be out. So, guys, thanks again. Thanks, Greg, for all your work. We appreciate you. Thanks, Astrid, for all your work. Appreciate you guys. And we're up and out of this joint right now. We'll see you soon.
That's right.
All right.
All right.
You know, baby, I don't want to. You try to play the field, but he isn't real.
All right. That is our brother, Dwayne Eubanks. Eubanks Anywhere Paradise. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for everything that you've done and do for us here at Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you listening to our shows and just being a part of what we do here. Father God, we just ask you to protect the listeners and keep them safe. We thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. God bless you. And have a good night.